Hello, and welcome to this podcast of Sunday sermons from Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this message to be meaningful, insightful, and a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. Please feel free to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone else who might benefit from it. This podcast is part of the digital ministries of Concord United, and we are grateful that you have chosen to experience worship and God's Word with us. For more information about Concord United and its ministries, please visit our website at concordunited.org.
We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that contains a verse that gets lifted out of context often, and it completely misses, I believe, so much of the power that's behind that verse. So today we're going to see if we can put it in context for just a few minutes. So I'm going to read from Jeremiah the prophet, who was prophesying to the exiles who were in Babylon. This is actually a letter that God instructed Jeremiah to write and was delivered to the leadership of the people of Israel as they were in exile. We're going to read verses 4 through 14 from Jeremiah chapter 29. See if you can spot the verse that gets taken out of context. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let us pray. Almighty God, it's a challenging letter. Help us to find a place for it, though, in our hearts, and for us to find a place in the letter. We pray that the same Spirit who inspired Jeremiah to write would inspire us, O God, to hear, that we may find truth in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Flipping through some pictures on my phone the other day, and I found one from 3 or 4 years ago when Lynn and I were in one of our little getaways. We love to get away right at the first of the year to the beach. But it's just great to decompress from Christmas, and everything's cheaper at the beach in January than it is in June. So it's a good time to go. We love that. And so there's this picture I found, and it was in Destin, and there was this beautiful sunset, and there's this beautiful golden glow on our shoulders as I took this selfie, with the ocean and the sun setting behind us. And I remember posting it on Facebook and Instagram, and got those comments, oh, you all look so peaceful and it's so beautiful, wish we were there, what a great scene. And people had no idea that was the first time in 2 days I'd been out of the condo. I had one of those really severe attacks of vertigo while we were there. Didn't leave the condo the day before. Could barely sit up straight. And finally, we were able to get out some the next day before we went home. And I remember just kind of wobbling down there on the beach as we took that picture. But you don't want people to see that side. Whenever you put stuff on social media, you want them to see the good side. We all do that. It's like the Christmas cards we get of the picture that families made at the beach, and they're all in their white linen, you know, smiling. And, you know, never mind the toddler that just had a meltdown and has ketchup from French fries all over that beautiful white linen shirt. Mom's holding him just like this so you can't see the shirt. And they snap the picture, and then all chaos ensues after that. And, you know, never mind me, the nauseated guy that's standing there trying to stand up straight for that perfect selfie. You never let him see the bad side. Always let him see the good side. You know, influencers make a fortune doing that on Instagram. Depending on how many people they have following them, these influencers make lots of money by showing their good side so that they can sell clothing and health drinks and whatever it is they're selling. I remember seeing a post from one of these very popular influencers. I don't know who it was, but they had, I don't know, millions of people following them. And she had posted this picture. She was kind of giving a behind the scenes of how that works. And she had posted this picture, and she was in, you know, fitness attire, and she's got the washboard abs and all that. And then right next to it, she posted a picture that she said was 1 second after she had snapped the first one, where her tummy looks like the rest of us, you know. And she said, this is the other side that you can't let anybody see. You have to let them see the good side, because you can't sell anything if people are seeing the bad side. Always show them your good side. And I believe that that's what God is saying to the people of Israel through this letter that Jeremiah sent to them. He was telling them, okay, things are going to get pretty bad. And in fact, things are going to get really bad. But no matter how bad it gets, and the reality was it was about to get super bad for them, he was saying to them, don't let them see your bad side. Show them your good side. Or I'm going to tweak it just a minute this morning, hopefully to make it more memorable. And I think God was saying, show them your God side. He's saying this to the people who are in exile. Show them your God side while you're up there, because you can't sell anything showing your bad side. You can't be a witness to me showing them your bad side or your dark side. You'll be a witness to me if you show them your God side. God's promise of blessing, that we find that beautiful promise in verse 11 that we love so much. Sometimes it includes, sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, but sometimes that blessing could be the introduction to a very dark, muddy, winding road that may take a while to traverse. And while Jeremiah 29:11, you know, that's the one about, for I know the plans for you to prosper you and all that, that's been on needlepoint and bumper stickers and now internet memes for a long time. But what about the verse before it? Verse 10. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. That doesn't look so good on a coffee cup, does it? You know, yeah, I'm going to bless you. And in 70 years, the people were going into, I mean, a full generation of exile. There would be an entire generation that would know nothing of the precious land that God had given them, that was actually their, that was their salvation, was that land that they had been brought out of by the Babylonians into exile. But God was saying to them, okay, look, it's going to be 70 years and things are going to be hard, but you're not only going to just survive, you are going to thrive in that. And it's so important to remember that that promise of his plans to prosper us and all that, that comes after a reminder that things are going to be really rough for 70 years. But that makes that promise even more beautiful, because the blessing is there even in the difficulty. And we don't want to miss what God isn't saying to them for those who may be going through some difficulty now. God isn't saying, okay, in this exile, stay low, tough it out, stay in the shadows, and maybe things will go well for you. He isn't saying that your life's being put on hold. He isn't saying that I'm abandoning you. What he is saying is that they are going to receive a blessing in the midst of all that. And at the very same time they are receiving the blessing, they are going to offer the blessing even to their captors and the city that they're to pray for that they're being held in. God wants them to show them their God side, not the other side, because that way there can be purpose and meaning even in their captivity. So let's review the situation and see if we can find a connection for us, just to make sure we're clear. Israel at this point had become what historians call a client state of Assyria. They had, if you will, they had sold their collective soul to Assyria so that they could get protection from all the other neighborhood bullies that were all over the region. And instead of trusting God, like God had always pleaded with them to do, they made a deal with Assyria. And in the process, so that they could, you know, assimilate into the culture better, they started worshiping Assyrian gods, and they started drifting away from Yahweh, who had taken them out of Egypt and given them this promised land. But they kept being disobedient. They kept turning away from him, and they kept getting themselves in trouble. So what happened was, everything was okay for a while until the Babylonians came and overcame Assyria. The Babylonians didn't know anything about a client state. All they knew was that they were going to take first the leadership and then many of the others out of their promised land and into exile into Babylon. And what we read, that passage, is the beginning of a letter, as I mentioned, that God had given to Jeremiah to send to the people to pronounce to them that things were going to be bad, but there was hope. And let's think for a minute about what God said to them. These are the people in exile. This is the letter they get from Jeremiah. And here's what God says. Build a house. Settle down. Plant a garden. Eat the fruit. Have children. Let your children have children. Increase. Now, that doesn't sound a lot like exile, but clearly it was. The people had been taken out of their land and into the hands of Babylonian captors and in a place, talk about strangers in a strange land. They were certainly in a bad place. But even as they were paying the price for their disobedience, God was teaching them that he would never give up on them and that he did, in fact, have a plan for them. And we remember that God provides comfort in uncomfortable situations with blessings that remind us of his promises. When we're in a tough spot, sometimes it's hard to remember the promises of God to prosper us, to never leave us. But he offers us these blessings, and he's offering blessings to the people in Israel. And the blessings then are reminders of those promises that still stand even when it's difficult to see. Because God always shows his God side. He's God. He doesn't have another side to show. And God's people received this great blessing, even in the midst of the difficulty. But remember, he's also asking them to then not just receive the blessing, but give it back, even to these people who had taken them into captivity, who were no doubt cursing them because of who they were, and making life very difficult for them. But remember what it said in verse 7. Also, he says, after he tells them to settle down, build a house, plant a garden, eat the fruit, have children and all that, he says, seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. It's sort of an echo of what we hear Jesus say in Matthew 5, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now that's tough. When people are cursing us, when people are treating us badly, particularly when we don't really deserve it, it's hard. And most of us, I know not my God side, but my dark side wants to lash out. When someone lashes out at me, when someone is cursing, if you will, either figurative or literally cursing me, you know, sometimes I just want to curse back, right? Because it just feels good in the moment. But that's the dark side. That's the other side. That's not the side God wants us to show, because all that does is keep it going. All that does is show people they were right to curse you in the first place. But if we show them our God side, it stops it. All of a sudden, we leave people with no place to go. They've unloaded on us, but we didn't give it back. And in fact, we offer a blessing to them when we don't do that. It has incredible consequences to the good when we are able to reflect that back to them as a blessing. Now, many of us don't have enemies. Probably most of us don't have enemies, but we all find ourselves on the business end of criticism. And if you're ever on Facebook at all, or heaven knows if you're on Twitter, you see it all the time. And you make a comment and somebody who's a friend of a friend just starts, because they disagree, they start unloading on you. And it's one of the ugliest places that you can go. And we see that. And then it starts this feedback loop and people start unloading back on them. That's a perfect opportunity, by the way, to show the God side. Now, one of the best ways to show our God side on social media is just don't show any side. Just don't go there and get involved in those. Not don't go to social media, but don't get involved in those kinds of conversations. But it is also an opportunity to show grace and to show our God side when everybody else is showing our dark side. But even if we aren't being attacked by enemies, we all find ourselves in difficult circumstances. And when we can just stay positive in the face of that, in front of other people, it has a profoundly calming effect. And in fact, if we let our quiet witness show our God side, people notice. People are blessed. I'll give you a good example. I was talking to David Banks yesterday. Some of you know David, and he gave me permission to talk about this. And many of you may know that David is dealing with pancreatic cancer. And so he had gone to Vanderbilt. I think they're back home now today. He had gone to Vanderbilt in Nashville to look into a clinical trial over there. So I'd called him up, and I didn't know what to expect when I called, but I called his cell phone, and he answered, "Hello," and, hey, David, this is Larry Trotter. "Larry, how in the world are you?" And I'm like, "David Banks, okay, it's him, you know. Hey, David, how's it going?" "Oh, you know, I'm dealing with this stuff, but I'm doing fine." This stuff? Pancreatic cancer? That's not this stuff. That's really bad stuff. But he was just so upbeat about, "Yeah, I'm over here and got some great doctors over here and they think they can help me have, more quality life and, you know, really excited. But enough about me. I want to hear about you. How are you doing? And tell me, how is Lynn doing? Is she okay? And how are those grandkids? Everybody, I hope, has dodged COVID. Hope everybody's good. Are you all getting to see each other? Are you going to be together at Christmas?" And it's like, David Banks. It's like, you know, he just sounded like David Banks. And if you know him, he's always like that. He's always upbeat. Sometimes they'll have a joke for you, but he's just that way. And he's still that way. And, you know, I kept thinking as I was talking to him, pancreatic cancer is bad stuff. And sometimes people with a cancer that bad, other people will say, "Well, he's dying of cancer." And the fact is, he's not dying. Now, he's sick. And he's not going to live the life I think he had probably thought he would live. But he's not dying. He's living with cancer. He's absolutely fully alive in every moment that he has. And you know, he said, "You know, I feel great now, but I know there are days coming when I'm not going to feel great. But I just pray that God will give me the grace to be strong through it." And I thought, you know, he will give you the grace, and I have no doubt that you will. And he was just showing his God side. And David Banks has a big, broad God side that he generally will show to anybody that he gets to. And even in the context of this great difficulty, he's remembering the blessings of God. And if you ask him, he's just going to tell you that he is blessed to be who he is and where he is and in the family he's in and all that. And they just continue to live, showing their God side. When we offer blessing in the face of difficulty, we show our God side and provide an unmistakable glimpse of Jesus. Jesus was the best at showing his God side. Now, you could say, "Well, it's the only side he had. He was God." Well, remember, he was fully human, as well as fully divine, fully God. And he got angry, and he got sad, he cried, he got afraid in the Garden of Gethsemane. He experienced, but he never showed that side. He had it, but he never showed it. All we ever saw from Jesus was his God side. And even in the, talk about cursing, he took on the curse of sin of the whole world for all time for you and me. And dying on the cross, being cursed by all of humankind, what did he do? When the thief looked at him and said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus showed him his God side. As the world is literally cursing him, he says, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the ones who hammered the nails in his hands and his feet, and literally hurled insults and curses at him from the ground as he hung there on the cross, he turned to his Father in heaven and said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he's offering blessing as literally people are cursing him, showing his God side, and in the process redeemed all of humanity and left a model for us that he stands in solidarity with us whenever we're dealing with difficulty, and people do. People do. Maybe you do. Maybe you are right now. We have an option. Yes, we have a human side, but we also have the image of God within us. And Jesus came so that the power of the Holy Spirit could fan that flickering image of God in us and turn it into a full flame so that whenever we are being literally or figuratively cursed by people, and we're going through these great difficulties, and we're being treated in a way perhaps we shouldn't be treated, we have the resources to show people our God side. And that may be the most profound witness we can ever show. It looks a lot like Jesus when we do that. And that's what God blesses us for, so that we can be a blessing, even in our cursing. We can be a blessing to others. And what a profound witness that is. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for Jesus, who was willing to just be cursed by all humankind so that we might be blessed with eternal life, and that we might live in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can show our God side when we are cursed and whenever things are difficult. Lord, help us to remember that resource is always there so that we can show the world our God side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.